Today, we're discussing power scaling in Dragon Ball, and Dotto, we gotta pick up the pieces.
Oh man, that's so much to do! Welcome to Key. Wait, like, what? Was it a welcome? Like, is that what we're doing?
I've listened to some of our pods lately. You know what we always start post TV thing?
No, what do we do?
We always just yell each other's name for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, that is weird. Nano!
Nano!
See, I feel like it just gets us into the energy. You know, it brings us in after the jingle. I mean, that's what else could you ask for from a podcast? You know,
you want your host
to be in the moment, right?
Dotto, I'm looking forward to you saying some absolute heinous stuff about power scaling and Dragon Ball today. I really am.
You know, because it's been on my mind for a while, Nano. Because
there's been some interesting comments, I think, is why.
Look, I'm not even going to say. I want to start this episode off by saying that I am not a world-renowned power scaler in Dragon Ball, okay? In fact, kid me would have told you that in the Cell Saga, Krillin could have beat Frieza. I thought that's how the show worked. I thought everybody keeps training, everybody surpasses the biggest bad guy from the last chapter, and then we move forward. You know, I've learned that that's not how it is, but that's what I believe. That's just to set you up. I'm not a power scaler, but, you know, I wanted to bring this to your discussion. Big Vegeta guy.
Yes.
Would you have said that Saiyan Saga Vegeta beats Ginyu?
Yes.
You would have always said that?
I feel like I would have, yeah, but that's just because I was biased to Vegeta, and you're asking kid me. I'm definitely 1,000,000% going and saying Vegeta, because like I would never want to think that here's the thing. To me, Ginyu was always cool simply because of his body transformation ability, but otherwise, I've had to grow to love the Ginyu Force as an adult, because as a child, I hated them.
Damn, why the hate?
I wasn't a fan? I did not like the Ginyu Force as a kid. I don't know what it was. One of my buddies loved using Ginyu and Budokai, though, and he beat my ass a lot. Maybe that's part of it, too. It's a little bit of a trauma thing as well, you know? Maybe.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was a fan of the Ginyu Force. Maybe not, like, a big fan, but, you know, I thought Jace was pretty cool. I thought, you know, Birder was pretty funny. Raccoon, you know, classic. Ginyu was more of just a guy, I guess. But anyway, I feel like, even as this wasn't even a kid thing. When I saw people saying like, no, Great Vegeta absolutely washes Ginyu. Like Vegeta's actually Frieza's strongest soldier. That just felt wrong to me. I'm not even going to lie. That just feels, even now, that feels incorrect. You're telling me that Saiyan Saga Vegeta and Zarbon bump into each other in the hallway. Zarbon's the guy that should be afraid? The answer apparently is yes.
Yes. But
that's crazy, bro. That's not how I pictured it.
I won't lie to you right now, Dotto. I am seeing his power scale right now and what happens with him on Frieza Saga, and I am actually blown away at these numbers, Dotto.
Is there numbers? Is people put together numbers for this?
Yes.
See, like, I get it now. Like, Vegeta losing his tail was a massive blow. But also, how do you lose your tail to Yajirobe, bro?
Isn't that so crazy?
Like, I don't think you understand. Like, the Saiyan Saga Vegeta losing was always a fumble for the Saiyan race, absolutely. But this just became one of the biggest all-time blown leads of forever. They lost to a box of scraps and Goku. And they shouldn't have even... They should have taken three Gokus. I don't know. This was the most mind-blowing power scaling moment to me, I guess.
Okay, so hang on. You said you wanted to discuss this, but did I just misunderstand, or are you saying you were on Ginyu's side the entire time?
I was on Ginyu's side the entire time.
Are you here now to repent and say that you've seen the light, or trying to fight for Ginyu?
No, I'm more just a bystander, bro. Like, I can't believe I'm accepting it as true because, you know, some real well-known power scalers. And it makes sense, I guess, like just numbers wise.
Have you looked at the numbers? Can I tell you the numbers?
Yeah. Go ahead. Break down the numbers for me.
So Ginyu, apparently, when he's going all out, and this is from like directly from a shonen, I guess. One of the weekly shonens talked about like power scaling. Ginyu was at 120,000.
You see, that's not high enough.
And so Vegeta in the Saiyan saga was at 18,000, but a Great Ape transformation apparently is a 10x multiplier. So he's at 180,000 as a Great Ape.
See that? And look, I get it. And then he outmatches Ginyu. But when people are telling me, like, again, numbers wise, it makes sense, bro. Like, I get it. You know, like, that's astounding.
Are you saying that, like, you think clunky, big O, Great Ape Vegeta is getting washed just simply because of Captain Ginyu's, like, techniques and abilities? Is that kind of where you're at, I guess?
No. I'm not even there. I'm just saying, like, I just can't believe. I'm on the side of, yes, Vegeta would win, I guess, due to numbers.
Okay.
But I'm also on the side that sounds incorrect as hell. That just does not sound correct.
Yeah, I guess I agree with you because you've got the big baddie at the end of the Saiyan saga, and now you've got like the mid fight boss of the Frieza saga, and you're telling me that the mid fight boss before we're going to fight the final boss of the Frieza saga can't beat the boss we fought like 35, 40 episodes ago? Like, that kind of does
What had happened is, like, I truly was not familiar with the Great Apes game, bro. Like, a 10x multiplier off rip, no penalty, is just crazy.
10x is nuts.
It's just insane. And, like, Vegeta really should not have lost. There's no way you should be losing that, bro. Bro has got to go into Great Ape faster. That is an all-time fumble, Nano.
Wait, so what was Goku then at Kaioken times 4? Is he just at, like, 32? He's only at 32,000? So that means when he went back down into his base state, he was back at like 8,000. And you're telling me 180,000 power level Great Ape Vegeta still somehow lost to them?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, how much are you throwing, bro?
I don't even like having this discussion because it's making me like disappointed in him.
Exactly. Like, and also, like, why? Like, look, I get Vegeta's judging base body, saying stuff. But, like, why are you getting hyped over Goku's, like, 9,000, bro? When you, like, eclipse that by so much in Great Ape. Just, like, why are you even sweating it? He doesn't have a tail. He's never recovering from that. Not having a tail as a Saiyan is a death blow. It's just, you're wrapped. Bro, that is the torn ACL of Saiyan battles, bro. It's like not having a tail.
That is such a good way to put it. Wait.
Like, why? If I see a Saiyan without a tail and I am a Saiyan with a tail, you are cooked and it doesn't matter how good you are. Like, that. I don't know. I guess I just never put that together as a kid. But yes, also just story wise, like, dude. I get it now. Like, I guess more of it makes sense. Frieza wiping out the Saiyans is because the Saiyans are eclipsing his best Frieza Force fighters simply off genetics alone. Like, I get it.
They just all go Great Ape and they could demolish his entire Frieza Force easily.
And not even all, like, Vegeta goes Great Ape and he demolishes the entire Frieza Force. He is Frieza's strongest soldier, which I thought was the Ginyu Force. He's literally their right-hand squad. But no, they're trash. Zarbon, Dodoria, both trash. Fodder. Vegeta just wipes the floor with it. Can you run the calc on Zarbon's numbers? Well, any Zarbon numbers out there?
Well, hang on though. Let's talk about Vegeta really quick. And I'll stop after Frieza saga because I don't want to go too far. But I have the numbers here if they are to be believed. So let's talk about this. So Vegeta Saiyan saga that we just got through watching as part of the rewatch, which you guys can check out by becoming key members by clicking that join button down there if you're on YouTube or going to patreon.com/keymoments and supporting us over there. You get tons of bonus content like this.
Hey, how's it going, Patreon? You guys want to watch some bonus content?
Anyways, we're playing this Dragon Ball game, which is...
Oh!
Today, we're going over most of my Dragon Ball collection.
Me and Nano were involved in a hit and run.
Yes, that's the other crazy thing about this. The Sonic DLC in Sparking Zero sounded crazy.
That was weird, right? Like, I know, like, there's crossover, but...
Yeah, like all of that. So thank you guys for supporting us. And if you haven't checked it out yet, we promise all that content, especially if you haven't checked it out, there's so much content just literally waiting for you to consume. So Vegeta, again, 18,000 Saiyan Saga, 24,000 after losing to Goku. So he boosted by 6K there. So that's at the beginning of the Namek Saga. Then,
okay,
after he gets beat by Zarbon and he goes into that rejuvenation chamber, he comes out at 30,000.
Okay.
Then after his battle with Raccoon, and he gets his third Zenkai boost, he goes up. Tell me how this works. I don't. Why does this work so much? But he goes up to 250,000.
Whoa! Yeah, fucking right, dude. What the fuck?
He goes up to 250,000, Dotto.
Cap, bro. Why?
So apparently Zarbon's power level in his base state is 20,400, and when he goes into his transform state is 34,000.
Okay, so fodder.
But I'm seeing two different answers here. I'm seeing around 23,000 in his base state, but either way, somewhere around that 20,000 mark in his base state, and that 34,000 is probably semi accurate. But once Vegeta has had his Zenkai boost post Raccoon fight, he's at 250,000. Then when
how does that make sense?
When he's fighting Frieza and he recovers his full power once he takes a nap, he has 530,000.
Huh? For taking a nap?
Then, if I don't think this is true, Dotto, tell me if you think this sounds true, because this doesn't sound true at all. But apparently, after he's healed by Dende, right?
Yeah.
He's at 2.5 million in base.
None of this makes sense to
me. Does that make any sense to you at all?
I'm not a power scaler, bro. The biggest jump that I don't understand is why the Raccoon Zenkai boost. How much is a Zenkai boost, man? It seemed a little random. Did that Raccoon beat his ass that bad that he popped off the 200K?
I guess I just don't. What happened there that he got that strong? Okay, so you asked, I shall answer. So Goku, when he arrives on Namek, is at 90,000.
Yeah, pretty good. And then he can Kaioken that, like, free, off-rip.
Yeah, so that's 180,000.
So off-rip, Namek Goku is washing Vegeta.
Holy shit, Dotto.
Washing Great Ape Vegeta.
If this shit is real, his post-Zenkai boost, like, after he's in, like, the whatever, the chamber and all that shit... is apparently 3 million. He's 3 million base.
That's about like three baby Friezas.
So that means times 10 would put him at a 30 million and times 20 would put it 60. So you know how much he is at Super Saiyan? This shit got so serious so fast. We went from Saiyan Saga being like, holy shit, 30,000. Do you know what his Super Saiyan form is in Frieza Saga?
No, go ahead.
150 million, apparently.
Jesus Christ.
Why would we need a squish, Dotto. We need a fucking, we need a World
Warcraft
squish.
We need a cataclysm stat squish, bro. Especially what makes, this is always what finds me the most, is that while this is happening on Namek, somewhere on Earth, a couple of tin cans have the same power level. You know that, right? Like, think about that. Yeah. I always think it's funny that if Frieza wins,
it is with the real names.
Lapis Lazuli.
Yeah. You know,
Lapis Lazuli. And even just the other androids, by the way. Well, I guess they did lose, so never mind. Just Lapis and Lazuli. But if I want to see the what, dude, Sparky Zero, I'm actually going to get to make this happen because this is totally something you can do with the characters they have. But I've always wanted to see the arc where Frieza beats Goku, goes, yes, now I'm going to go take out Earth. And then a couple of teenage emo kids beat the piss out of him, Nano. Like, it's not even close. They just absolutely embarrass the fuck out of them. That's not fair, bro. That is not fair. Intellect beats training every day in Dragon Ball. Every day in Dragon Ball Z. Up until Super. But still, absolutely insane. See, those numbers make no sense to me.
Yeah. So
let's
talk Frieza. We got to talk the counterpart. So we know, or I assume everyone knows.
530,000.
530,000, right? That's his base form, which I think is what's so crazy to think that Vegeta apparently is also at the level of first form Frieza when he fights first form Frieza. Like, that's...
They were scrapping, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, second form is just a double up, so he's at 1,060,000.
Nano, I think that's where we all went wrong. I think, you know, if I was trying to power scale this, obviously this is retroactive. I think Super Saiyan could be like 1.5 million. How you feel about that? You know, but
yes.
I think 530 should have been most of Frieza's power. And then like the transformations unlock maybe 100K here or there.
Yeah, not a full ass double.
A double is, you know, now we're begging for the stat squish, bro. Like, now it's going
to
happen.
And also, we went from Kaioken times four to being able to do, you know, like times 20 and times 30. Like,
yeah, like, that's pretty huge. That's insane.
Or not 30. Like sorry, times 10 and times 20, my bad. But
that's insane.
Like, I don't know.
You
like,
know what times 20 is doing to Grade 8 Vegeta?
Well,
just absolutely vaporizing him instantaneously.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. So, okay, so apparently, and I don't remember this, but I guess Frieza, when he went, well, sorry, let's talk. Third form is not a full double of second form, so he's only at 1.59 million. But okay, then when he goes to third form, it's almost a full double. He's up to 3 million, but apparently that is suppressed. I guess he wasn't at his full potential when he was just, like, fighting all of them. Before, you know, Goku shows up and does his shit.
Yeah.
Frieza,
you know why
form.
I think they're adding that? I think they're adding that because of the Gohan filler. Can't let him. Because
okay.
Gohan smacked around one of the Frieza. I'm not sure which one it is. And obviously, you know, it's not canon, so. But Gohan smacked around one of the guys. So you're telling me Gohan spiked up to 3 million for a second? Because that's kind of.
Well, that's what I was like. I remember Gohan, like, scrapping with third form Frieza. So you're telling me that Gohan was at, like, 1.5 million with third form Frieza? Base kid Gohan?
I don't know about that. I don't.
What the fuck? Like, anyway, when Frieza finally got to his 100% final form, he was at 120 million. 120 million, Dotto. What? Like, why?
Yeah, I don't think Grade 8 Vegeta is doing anything to that.
No, I don't think so. So nowadays, then the Dragon Ball Super power levels are just like so got to be so dummy. Like literally,
yeah, no, power levels needed to be like after Frieza, like it really just couldn't even exist anymore.
What is
the numbers just get so? It's in the quintillions for sure. Have you ever seen those YouTube videos that like have the
really,
power scaling
you're not
bars?
Kidding. It really is actually.
they have the power scaling bars, and it's just like after a little while, it's like six bingillions, seven quinchillions, twinskillions. It's like, what the fuck is that? And why are we using these numbers to grade anime characters?
Wait, ultra full power Super Saiyan 4 Goku is 84 quintillion. What the fuck?
Yeah, bro, that's pretty impressive.
Like.
What? Ain't no scouter reading that. That shit's popping on, like, on. As soon as you turn this shit on, it pops and explodes.
Dude, what? Okay, so Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken is 315 quintillion. And then Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken times 10 is 2.1 sextillion.
See, this is stupid, bro. Like, this isn't real. Like, none of this is real.
Like, what? I don't. Why, Dotto? Why UI Goku's 25.2 septillion, Dotto? Why is
that? Yeah, you gotta watch out for
thing?
The septillion, guys.
Why is that a thing, Dotto? Okay, so this brings me to the last discussion before we actually dive into the episode that we're talking about today. But do you believe, like, actually believe that Super Saiyan 4 is weaker than the forms in Dragon Ball Super? Like,
absolutely.
You actually think so?
Absolutely, 100%.
I don't.
What?
I actually don't. Yeah, I think here's my reason. Hear me out, that okay?
Okay, go ahead.
So, while I do think it's cool that they were able to go into their sort of like god forms, you know, and sort of like adapt, like god key and all of that, and apply that into like a Super Saiyan form, like I think that is cool in and of itself. I think there's something about like Super Saiyan 4 being this like own transformation that they do without needing the help of any type of god key, like it's their own like thing. I think there's something about that I want to believe is stronger than anything they've done with the god key. That's what I want to believe. So like,
I mean, you know, if they write it in that way, I think you know, whatever, I'd accept it. I'd take it.
I think what's interesting to me though, that they, you know, I guess it is more of a proven thing that Super Saiyan 4 is weaker than any of the stuff in Super, is that canonically, which I know GT is not canon, but timeline wise, like all of Super is taking place before all of the GT stuff. So if you looked at it in that way, then technically Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta is a stronger form than Super Saiyan Blue Gogeta.
Yes, but I feel like that would that would be if GT happened with the super stuff. Like if Goku went blue and then was like, I can't use this, I got to use something real, and then went Super Saiyan 4, then yeah. But I think because it doesn't even happen in the same like timeline, I don't know, because that would mean like Super 17 washes Black Frieza.
Yeah.
Like absolutely just dumps. You think technology's that good?
You just said yourself that if Frieza came to Earth,
post-Frieza's
like get his ass beat by a couple of emo teens. So yeah, no,
yes, bro, but there's Black Frieza shows up and gets washed by a big emo guy. Come on, that's too tough, man. Android.
I don't know.
That's Frieza with Golden Frieza who trained in a hyperbolic time chamber, man. That's like Frieza max sweat, bro. Like he's absolutely trying his ass off.
And this is Hellfighter 17 and Dragon Ball Super, whatever 17 fused together to become the ultimate android. And you can't beat him when he's Super 17. So yeah. Breeze is getting his ass beat.
Yeah, and basically he absorbs all energy attacks, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even remember what Super 17 does or why he's strong.
I mean, he's just the fusion of 17 and 17.
Why does that make him so strong?
Because fusion is strong. It tenfolds your power.
Because that's just what fusion does,
that's
bro.
That's what fusion does. Fusion.
So why... what stopped them from fusing in the GT arc? I don't remember. Like, just to counter the fusion. Was Vegeta not around?
Because they were saving... Actually, I don't think Vegeta is around for that arc. Dude, it's been a long time for me, too. And also, Super 17, I think, is on screen for all of, like, two episodes or something. Like,
really?
Yeah, I really think he's only fused for, like, 2 to 4 episodes. 5 max. Well,
in BT2, they kept him... That was a long-ass arc.
Was it?
Yeah, I think I fought him as Vegeta, fought him as 18, fought him as like 18 again, then Goku in 18, and then finally Goku again. So I figured it must have been like a 20 episode thing.
No. I mean, dude, all of GT is only 64 episodes.
Oh.
and I have recent-ish, right? We've talked about this on the pod before. I've recent-ish, within the last like 2 years, watched the first 10, 11 episodes of GT, and you're not even to real dough yet in the first 10 to 11 episodes. You have to fight... His name's not Ludwig. Legic? You have to fight Legic first before you even get to Rildo. And you have to fight Rildo first before you even get the baby. And then post-baby, which I think is after like episode 30-something, Super 17 and all the Shinron stuff happen within 30 episodes of each other. Like, that's how
just,
fast
there's just
are.
Absolutely no way GT thought they was doing something with that beginning, bro. Like...
No, the beginning of GT is, well, I enjoyed it because it was just like the first time I'd sat down and watched like Dragon Ball since Super had ended. So I was like enjoying myself watching it, but I was like, damn dog, this is not, I cannot believe they like okayed all this. Like, it was not, man. Yeah. It was, GT does not get good until baby. I don't even remember like in Rildo that much, really.
Well, yeah, I don't. Does anybody know who Rildo is? Like anybody at all? Like anybody outside?
DLC
outside
character Rildo.
I'm laughing at him.
Sparking Zero is gonna go crazy, Dotto.
Yeah, like
make a video over him.
We talk about like popularity rates. Like, what game is Rildo getting added to as DLC? And I want to see the sales rates. Like, I want to see who's buying it.
Dude, he will be. I guarantee you, he'll probably be a Sparking Zero DLC. I would almost put money on it.
Yeah, as part of a pack. You think Fair. You think people are paying for him?
Fair. Not individual. You're saying like he'd have to be like there with like baby or something.
It would have to be, and I kind of hope they do DLC this way, but it would have to be like, you know, like GT Pack 1 or something. And then it's like, you know, maybe you get Super Saiyan 4, Rildo, yada yada, Trunks, Pan.
I'm so ready to see what their strategy is going to be. Like, I'm just ready to see like what does the base roster of this game actually look like. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to see.
Even more than that, I want to see how they do DLC, because you can't just do one character drops in a game like this, I think. It has to be packs, surely, right?
No, I'm with you. Yeah, I don't think you do. This isn't Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah, it's not Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's not a game where things like that really matter that much. And maybe you can get away with, if it's a hype enough character, like, if it's Gogeta, you can drop the Gogeta pack, right? Like, you can call the forms characters. But I think if you're doing like nobody's buying, it's important to add these whack characters, but nobody's buying those whack characters. You know what I mean?
Yes. No. Well, I don't know, man. Okay, yeah.
Bro, if they release Rildo as a standalone character, I promise you I am not buying him, bro. Like, I just will not. Like, and I would make a video on the character if I did buy him. But I just couldn't bring myself to do that.
Oh, shit. Dude, you... yeah. Okay, last thing while we're on topic of Sparking Zero. Do you think... just I'm trying to make sure this happens. We've talked about this multiple times. But do you think it's going to be Beast? Do you think Beast is the character that they're not revealing?
I would hope so, yeah. Or, I mean, they got to put Orange Piccolo in the game, right? I mean, I hope not, because that wouldn't be very exciting, because... that should be in the base game. Like, why are we teasing it up for that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. We have about, what, 60-ish characters left to see or so? So...
yeah, you know, like hurry it up. What are we waiting for?
You think we're going to see anything Sunday? So. You think we'll see anything Sunday?
What Sunday again?
At, like, 6 in the morning or something, they're doing a... 50-ish minute video, but it's all
damn.
It's all over stuff that we've already seen. So I don't know. That's why I'm like, I don't know if they'll actually show anything new.
Probably not then.
Because it doesn't. They're just showing us like an online match or something like that.
Probably not. I'd be excited though. I mean, I take it.
Imagine GT's there. Imagine they finally reveal Esther. Esther Worker is gonna be base, right? He's base. There's no way he's DLC. Right.
You're hyping yourself up for something that's not gonna happen, man.
You actually think SSJ4 Goku's DLC? Like, you actually believe that?
I know it.
I think you're wrong, Dotto. I think you're wrong.
I know.
SSJ4 is base. SSJ4 is base game.
It's not gonna happen. Look, I'd be excited, but it's not gonna happen.
It's gonna be more Goku's. All right. It's gonna be way more Goku's. It's gonna be more Goku's and Vegeta's.
Not gonna happen.
And we're going to get Gogeta. He's going to be base game.
No, they've got to add like all the Caulifla forms, all the Kale forms, all the Kaba, all the Kaba forms. We're basically cooked, buddy.
Dude,
we're done for.
How many characters are we at then? Actually, I didn't even think about that, because Kale would take up like 3 slots. Caulifla would take up 3. Oh, God, dude. Are we cooked?
Yeah, I'm telling you, we're pretty much cooked. You know, we're pretty much almost there. Like, I can't remember all the characters we've seen, but, you know, these forums got to take up some spots. You know what really did it in, though, Nano, is Gogeta Super Saiyan's 4 attack animations were definitely given to Gogeta Blue in the demo that we played. And I was like, ooh. Like, other people got hyped for some reason to see that. But, yeah, I was like, okay, so that's dead. No way they're adding Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta base now. Which means they probably won't have GT Goku now. Or Vegeta. And we'll probably get them in a pack later.
You actually might be spitting. Now that I'm really thinking it through, I need to do the math on how many characters are actually in the game. Because, yeah, if it really is still the 164 number that I've seen floating around. But I think when they asked the producer that, he actually would not comment. I think he actually made a comment that made it sound like there was going to be even more.
Well, they said 160 plus at our little, like, showcase. So yeah. It's probably, you know, in that area.
I don't know. I really love. I'm not kidding when I say I love Super Saiyan 4 the most, I think, out of any form. So it not being in the game will make me definitely kind of sad.
Yeah, no, I mean, the good news is it definitely will be in the game eventually.
Wait. Okay, hang on, though. If you think gods are better, do you actually like the god forms more than Super Saiyan 4?
Me personally, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, bro. That blue Kaioken looks too good.
I'm actually kind of sad that's how you feel. Holy shit.
Why, bro?
I mean, I love 4 way more. Man, no, you're like, we can have differing opinions. I think 4 is just, yeah. So you like blue more than God?
Yeah.
I forgot we had this discussion. You do like blue that much. Man, yeah, I think God looks way better. Especially Vegeta. Vegeta and God is like so sick, man.
I would agree with that. Vegeta blue is not as good as Goku blue.
No. No, I think, yeah, Vegeta owns God better, and Goku definitely owns Blue better for sure. And you throw that little Kaioken, a little red kind of flavor on top.
Yes, bro, exactly. It looks, have you seen it in the game? Like Sparking Zero, if you use like your Blastox to go Kaioken and then you're also blue and you charge, it looks so fucking sick.
Yeah, I saw Afro caught footage of that. God, I wish we had more time with that game.
Yeah, no, the Blastox stuff is like what I'm really wondering about now. Like, you know, it's just hard to use Blastox. I want to play it so bad, man. Yeah, damn.
I'm itching. So I hope they do a beta at home or something, bro. I'm itching to play this game.
I'm itching to make videos too.
And that too, man. It's like I'm over here just like picking up the pieces of the little bit of the demo that we got to play. Which brings us to the 36th episode of Dragon Ball Z, the beginning of the Namek Saga, the very first episode, technically, of the Namek Saga, which originally aired in Japan on February 14th, 1990, or the version we watched, which people have been on me. I've seen a few comments lately. Like, it's not that. I'm like, I love how this has totally shifted, because when we first started saying the 2005 dates, both of you and I were like, that's just not possible. And people are like, well, that's because technically this is the funny dub of this, and that wasn't released until later. But the first date, the American air date of this was August 15th of 2005. That date, obviously, is, if you're like me and watched like in the 90s and early 2000s, that this is the date for when the Funimation people went back, redubbed it, because when they picked up, they just picked up and kept going during the Namek Saga. They didn't redub the Ocean Dub stuff until later. So we'll start seeing some different dates that are probably closer to dates that you're familiar with from the English air dates when we get a little bit deeper into the Namek Saga. So, boom, there you go. Anyway, sorry, that was a long-winded way of saying
that. We got to learn about the episode somehow. Anyway, you said something about Funimation year dub.
Yeah, Funimation dub, which is what how we watched it again, which you can watch us react to that, but being a key member. And while I'm here and I've already broken the flow of things, I'll just go ahead and say this. If you guys have not liked the video on YouTube, you haven't left us a rating on Spotify or Apple, and you haven't subscribed, consider doing so. You know what? We'd both really appreciate that. That'd be so sick. I really want to see a key moments silver play button. I think that'd be cool.
That'd be funny. Funimation. I still want weekends with that. Yeah, Funimation. We should give it to Funimation. Like, we should get the silver play button anymore. And then. Oh. That made me sad. Well, I guess we can put it in Crunchyroll's dumpster. Like, we should get the play button and then just throw it away in Crunchyroll's like dumpster, like the closest
it's
trash
just
can
whole
we
ass
find.
Video. This is like that's the video, is us traveling to Crunchyroll HQ in America to literally
dumpster our play button and then leave. Anyway, Nato, I'm going to go ahead and say everything that happens in this episode right now.
Let's go. Let's do it. I'm timing
nothing.
You.
Nothing. They get on a plane and they go back home after the battle.
Why are you lying?
Well, I'm not lying. I wouldn't lie to you, Nano. That's the episode, you know, the battle ends, they get on a plane. They don't even make it to their destination by the time the episode ends. It's ironically, a lot happens in terms of dialogue on the plane, but that's literally the episode, guys.
Isn't that crazy though? That like a lot does happen, but you're actually, now that you've said that, you're right. They don't even actually land where they were heading.
No, they don't. They get on a plane and that's the episode.
Well, they
if you're going off actions, they land and pick up some bodies and get back on the plane. But no, this is literally, as the title suggests, them picking up the pieces. So the Saiyan Saga is over. Everybody is mostly dead. Well, we actually have four casualties. Tien, Chiaotzu, Yamcha, and Piccolo. We're not as lucky as Krillin, Gohan, and Goku. Those are the only three survivors. And one of those guys was dead at the beginning of the day.
Are you done?
I was just waiting to see how long you'd be quiet. Yeah, no, I finished, yeah.
Damn. Okay. All right, let's rate the episode.
No, we got to talk about the intricate lore. Because
okay,
otherwise, when
was,
I rate this episode, it would be like weird.
There actually was a lot to break down with everything that we learned here, which is surprising for an episode that, yeah, as you have already stated, not a ton really happened, but that's because they were setting up. Actually, let me take a step back.
Go ahead.
This episode actually, and it, all things considered, this episode is very important because of everything it does set up for us to learn. which I think is what's going to piss me off so bad when I bet you the next like five episodes feel pointless.
Yes, this I said it in our reaction, which you can go watch, but this is technically like on manga pacing, this would be the five pages in between this and the important arc, like setting stuff for the next time. Like, this is how you sell copies right here. They literally are like, this is what happened. Here's what we're going to do about it. Let's go do it. Only, like you said, I bet we're in for 5 weeks of them not getting it done.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But, I mean, this is the only episode you would theoretically need to just jump right in. Like, if you were skipping filler, you probably cut from this right to the next episode. You know what? I do have a question about Nano.
Let's hear it.
Do you believe the comments? And if you remember, you remember. Do you believe the comments that there's a fake Namek arc?
I'm starting to, yes. I'm beginning to think that somehow they had to, like, there is going to be a bunch of filler. And, okay, let me, hang on. I don't think there's a fake Namek arc. Again, as someone who's not read the manga, fully exposed here, I have not read the manga.
No shot there's a fake Namek arc there.
There's no way there's a fake Namek in the manga. But no. But in the anime, after... Dada, let me just remind you that we watched an episode called Dueling Piccolos.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That did nothing for the story at all. So do I think that they're going to arrive on a planet that is not actually Namek? Yes, actually. I'm going to go ahead and hedge my bets on saying yes. That actually does happen.
They're like kind of setting it up this episode too, because like we said, we'll go into what they talk about a little more, the stuff they break down. But one of the things is, you know, King Kai sets up the fact. King Kai is how they know where Namek is. He dials him in, helps him find it, but he pulls out a book of addresses.
Yeah, and he's like,
the second I saw that, I was like, no, please don't. Like, oh, I read the wrong. Like, have you watched Invincible? Like, don't hit me with the, oh, this is Earth, not Urath. Like, come on, bro. Like, please don't do me like that, man. Like, I bet a lot of money on this Namek arc being good, Nano, and I don't want to be embarrassed.
Dude, you did. You bet your entire year's key moment salary on it, so.
Yeah, you know, thinking back, that was kind of like, you know, there was a lot of company hazing going on at that time, and, like, I just wanted to fit in, but, yeah, that was probably a mistake.
Hey, man, listen, no takesy-backsies, that's all I know.
No, I understood that when you made me sign the contract with my blood. I always figured that was kind of, like, that seemed a little overkill, but.
No, no takesy-backsies, man, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, here's to hoping. And if it does happen, you know, five episodes max, right? Surely. You know, that's only 5 weeks of the Key Moments podcast, and then, like, we can just get right back on the ship to Namek. Because I... Look, even when there's not filler, I remember some of the Namek stuff taking a while. Like Goku's training, I remember that being painfully long. But I think that was just because I was excited.
I remember episodes of them just hanging out in a cave for like a long time. am I misremembering that or something? Or
I don't think you're misremembering. I think there's a lot of like conversation scenes. Maybe not in a cave. But like in like between two rocks, like I remember their HQ basically being like in a ravine, like you cut through and then that's where they are. Bro, you sound like you're not hyped up for this, man.
I don't trust, bro, because we're entering an arc that I know that like Namek is supposed to be separated from Frieza, but realistically speaking, this is like all the same arc until we get into the android stuff. We're entering an arc that is twice as long as Saiyan Saga, and we just experienced some pretty heinous ass filler in the Saiyan Saga. So I just can't, like, I swear to God, when there's an entire episode of them just like trying to catch a frog or some shit on Namek, and it's just cutting between them being at the campsite and trying to catch the frog, and that's the whole 20 minutes.
Is that real?
Like, would it surprise you?
No, it would not.
Would it surprise you? Yeah, no. Because, okay, but do you want to actually like break down everything?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, let's stop worrying about the future and let's talk about the present, you know?
Yeah, now.
Really, I mean, the way we can break this down, Nano, is do you got anything to say? I know you said your married man complaints. Basically, they show up, Chi-Chi just ignores Goku the entire episode. Only focused on the dead Gohan.
Yeah, she's pissed off because Goku put Gohan in harm's way. Even though if they didn't stop Vegeta, like the Earth would literally explode, putting Gohan in the utmost of danger because there's no Earth and he can't breathe and he'd die.
To be fair, he'd probably only be in danger for about a couple minutes before
he's just gone. He doesn't worry about it.
Yeah, he ain't really got to worry about it now that it's over. He's on Snake Way dancing around now. So, but yeah, so that's basically the first bit. No real big information during the first half of this episode. Well, not for first 10 minutes. It's just everybody shows up to pick him up. Corrin's there. Pretty much the whole gang other than Poir, who is still dead from shock at the whole Yamcha debacle.
Yeah, Poir is not here.
Poir is actually still at Kame Island, dead on a pillow, probably. Wouldn't even surprise me if they wanted to write in that Poir died of shock, I would actually believe it. But yeah, nothing happens there. And they get into a plane, and we learn a few key pieces of information. I think we could just, honestly, the rest of this podcast, we could just boil down the information, what we think about it, and we don't even have to do it in order.
Sure.
But they also pick up the bodies. That's the other thing that happens.
So worth noting, they pick up everyone at the fight. Then we talk a little bit, which is what we're about to talk about, some of the stuff we learn about. And then they pick up Piccolo, Tien, and Yamcha, and then they are like, where's Chiaotzu? Blew up his body.
I didn't think they'd put this in, but they literally say, where's Chiaotzu? And then they point out, like, he's a little over there, some of them over there, like, I see a little bit of him over there. I didn't think they had to point out all of the blood splatter, but it kind of worked for me.
Yeah, it was like an interesting detail I was not expecting him to do.
But yeah, there was not much of him left to preserve. Shenron's gonna have to get him a whole new body. Like, Jit really messed up with that explosion play. It did remind me, though, I still think weeks later it was childish that Nappa tried to fly him into the sharpest rock formation I have ever seen in my life. That did not need to be there, I think, but whatever. But yeah, so one piece of information is that we learn that not only are, you know, Krillin has the highest intellect minus Bulma. Bro put everything together. He's the mastermind of this plan.
It's pretty sick,
Their goal, Vegeta mentioned Namekians make Dragon Balls. Krillin assumes there has to be Namekians out there on a planet called Namek. King Kai finds it. But, you know, Krillin, he discovered it. And then, so they're going, they want to find Namek. And they also learned that Namekians are an alien race like Piccolo, which one key detail being that Namekians are peaceful by nature. King Piccolo is just an exception.
Yeah, King Piccolo was hateful, essentially, and had the hatred in his heart because of being exposed to Earthlings. It's pretty much the lore reason why Demon King Piccolo is the way he is because of the hatred that he witnessed from Earthlings over the years.
Yeah, no, they literally, and this is not even a bit, they actually show like his silhouette in front of war tanks, plague.
Yeah, like him growing up.
Like yeah, him like growing it looked, up.
Apparently, gets older. You can kind of tell it getting older.
To be fair, tough childhood. If he literally went from war to plague to like racism, like I get it, bro. Like, you know, he was pretty upset. But it does make Piccolo softening up to Gohan a little more believable because basically it's just like undoing a couple of weeks of hatred. It's like he's healing. He's going back to his natural form. But other than that, I think that's pretty much all the Namekian stuff. Did we learn anything else about planets? Do you remember anything, Nana? Or?
Essentially, I mean, Goku literally at that, I think, was it at that point or was that him? No. King Kai was telling us, right? King Kai was telling us that. Is that how we learned that?
That? King Kai found it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really think there was anything other than the fact that we learned that there was only probably roughly 100 Namekians left alive.
Yeah, that was a little intense. Is that only 100? That's pretty... Oh, yeah, because they went through like a planet... Their planet went through like climate change.
Yes.
And their dragon couldn't handle... Which, I'm going to be honest, how can your dragon not handle climate change? That seems pretty doable.
Yeah. No, I think 100 sounds about right because when they go to the different... In my head, anyway, remembering the different like sort of like campsites that they went to or the tiny little like villages, there's not that many Namekians really in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, they're in villages of like 20 apiece, and I think there's only like 5 villages. So
yeah, so I think 100 probably does make sense. But yeah, I guess I definitely did forget that aspect of it is that the majority of Namek is not inhabitable is pretty much what King Kai says, and so that's why there's like 100 of them left because such a vast majority of the planet has been destroyed essentially climate change. So or something.
I'm hoping that isn't playing into the fake Namek arc.
I don't...
Like, I'm a little worried. What if we're discussing all this and they're like, oh, this place isn't actually Namek?
I think the fake Namek arc, if that is a thing, is literally... So I can see right here, shout out to the wiki as always. The coordinates are 9045XY. And so I'm wondering if, like... Because again, Dotto pointed this out, but he had a book that he was reading. And he's like, oh yeah, these... Well, wait, were these the coordinates? So maybe like these initial coordinates are incorrect. They're going to end up at a Namek that he had wrote down as Namek. And he's like, oh no, it was actually 9054XY, not 9045XY. My bad, guys.
Oh, that's going to be another 4 months, guys. My bad. It's 4 months of travel time. All the dude, you know what actually pissed me off this episode? We've talked about this a lot. We've given Bulma her flowers here. But she gets no kudos. She gets no kudos on anything. Because they run the numbers on the travel. Everybody's happy with the plan. They're stoked to do it. And then Bulma's like, guess what, guys? It's 4,000 years worth of travel with Capsule Corp's biggest
one. She does that. The way that she did it all without the calculator actually being out. She pulls out the calculator to presumably confirm what she just did and calculated in her head is the way I viewed it. Because
she's different.
Because she's just standing there, her back to, is it Roshi and Krillin or something like that? And like, yeah, turns around because she's like, was she laughing like maniacally kind of at this? Because they were like, we'll just go to Namek. And she just kind of like starts laughing a little bit because she's like,
exactly. Because they're not even thinking about how much work they're giving her. We'll just go to Namek. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be easy. And then she's like, guess what? It'll take 4,335 days to get there. Like,
and that's the best days, Capsule years, Corp years. Tech, by the way. That's the best Capsule Corp tech. And they are already years ahead of whatever we have on actual Earth, like our Earth. So yes. Namek got to be like, I don't even know, bro. Like,
multiple
Namek
is galaxies away.
Unfathomably far away.
So,
but
this is where your goat Krillin comes back in.
He does have a banger though. I mean, this is still like giving Bulma work and being kind of a dick about it, but he's like, yeah, but what if we just use a Saiyan space pod? And he realizes that while Vegeta took his and Raditz is broken, Nappa still has his left. So they just got to go pick that up and study it. Again, that is giving work to Bulma. Like, all you got to do, pick it apart piece by piece, rebuild it, make it better. And then boom, we'll be there in a couple days.
Also realizes that Nappa surely is bigger, right?
Oh yeah, they did say that. They were like,
how big Nappa is.
Vegeta, that's how, because Krillin didn't even see if Nappa came in one by himself, but he said Nappa definitely wasn't fitting in that with Vegeta, so he had to have a separate one.
Oh, and what I thought you were gonna mention when you were talking about Bulma is when she snags the Saiyan pod remote out of Krillin's hands and like literally looks at it for 2 seconds and immediately is like, guess what?
We're going to Namek. Instantaneously, she deduced that it was going to work.
Is that when they was did the pointing thing that got me in the reaction?
Yes, they all pointed ahead and said, "We're going to Namek," and you got a few chuckles out of that. I don't know. Ha-has.
It was because they're all standing there in one position and just an immediate all of them together pointing.
They were. It also doesn't help that most of this episode was crying for the dead. So it came out of left field.
Yeah,
but, which, yeah, pretty funny moment.
Bulma the entire time when they weren't there, you know, didn't act like she was even remotely fazed by Yamcha being dead. But now all of a sudden she cared. Like, okay,
now it's traumatic. Yeah, now it's
okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't buy it.
Dotto, let's hear some differences from the manga. I think are we?
Oh yes. Is this any of this going to even be in the manga? Oh my god, I've never seen a differences from the manga this huge.
Is it big?
Oh my god. All right, let's start with the first one. I'm just going to go through these, man, because we got a lot. Due to watching the battle, both on TV and later on the Crystal Ball, Bulma and the others knew who had been killed by the Saiyans and tells Goku as such when they talk. In the manga, however, it is only at this point that they are made aware that they died, so Bulma reacts very differently. In former, when she sees Yajirobe survive but not Piccolo, and realizing that Yamcha cannot be restored, she breaks down sobbing and it's played for dark humor. The latter version is portrayed quite seriously with Bulma snapping at Yajirobe after he reveals himself, berating the latter for his cowardice, ineffectiveness, concluding that he should have died instead of Piccolo. That's what happened in the anime. let's see here. Yamcha in the English version, which ends in her breaking down and crying. Yajirobe's reaction to being told this, that this gives his complaint to the other's annoyance with him surviving, is portrayed as significantly darker than in the manga.
Ah.
Okay. Honestly, that made me want to read the manga because it is true. This is when they would be learning pretty much everything. Next one, Nano, significantly less long. Bulma remembering her times with Yamcha as she's flying the airplane is filler, expanded from the panel of her taking over flying for Master Roshi. By extension, Krillin mourning for the fallen Z fighters and remembering their respective deaths is also filler.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just like a flashback for the audience, you know. So that one isn't too bad. It just plays up. It extends manga material. Holy hell, man. This is like, I've never seen this many points. You could tell that this shit was like one page in the manga, man. Damn. King Kai had his talk with the dragon team uninterrupted in the manga, with Bubbles being shown asleep, while King Kai pinpoints the planet Namek. The anime has Bubbles waving around flowers and pestering his master, which prompts the Kai to knock him out with a mallet. The monkey can be seen unconscious in the background with Gregory watching over him, who only exists in the
God,
end. Damn! What? Let him be, bro. They cannot bring up Gregory for anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Let my boy Gregory go, bro. It's been fucking one whole year of the wiki roasting his ass. We get it. He's not real. All right. Next point. This is the smallest by far. The visuals of the Saiyans and Shenron accompanying Roshi's explanation on why the Dragon Balls have their limitations is not in the manga. Okay. I mean, yeah. Korin smacking Yajirobe in the face with his tail for deriding the Dragon Balls is useless does not occur in the manga. In addition, Yajirobe is also scowling when he badmouths the balls in the manga, whilst the anime shows him grimly smirking while doing so. Okay. A lot of Yajirobe here. Yajirobe only pictures Kami when he worries about the Namekians being hostile in the manga, but the anime has him picture many Namekians, including one with a mustache. Was there one with a mustache? And then the visual of Gohan destroying Raditz's space pod as Goku recalls what happened to is not in the manga. I'm surprised that even him recalling it was in the manga. So that's pretty cool. That's it. Why would they? Okay, I want to do it. You want to do some light trivia after that?
Sure. Yeah, let's hear it.
This one's pretty good. This seems like over editing. The edited version of the dub removed the scene showing the bodies of the fallen fighters being loaded into freezing pods.
Oh.
Guess they didn't want kids thinking about that. But it's not like they were bloody or like in pieces, really. So I didn't think it was that bad. Despite this being a part of Funimation's Namek Saga, the uncut and remastered Funimation box set Orange Bricks places this episode with the Vegeta Saga, including Plans for Departure, Nursing Wounds, Friends or Foes.
So this is how we are again experiencing it. And this is, even though this is Namek Saga, this was included with season one and was the disc following. This was disc six out of this. So that is true.
I mean, to be honest, do you agree with that or disagree? I feel like we're still coming down off the Saiyan side.
No, this makes sense to me. This would make sense for me to have this and have access to those episodes right here.
Yeah, like I want to feel like, if I only bought this box set, I would like to feel wrapped up, you know? Like, yeah. I want to feel taken care of. I don't want it to just end when it's over. We did it. And then that's it? Come on now. All right, let's read a few more of these. Let me see if I can pick out any good ones here.
In the dubbed version, King Kai mistakenly says Planet Vegeta instead of Planet Namek. That's interesting.
Oh, that is pretty interesting. I didn't hear that. Oh, wait. Bulma's eyes change color from blue to black when she gets excited over the possibility of reaching Planet Namek. Did you notice that? I didn't even see that.
I did not, no.
The Saban Canadian dub team removed the dragon team, resuming their laughter after their serious declaration of venture to Planet Namek. That does seem like a pretty American thing to do.
Interesting.
It's a pretty dark episode. Let's keep them serious, you know? The Bulma holding up the calculator art does go kind of crazy, though.
The visuals of Nappa and Vegeta during Roshi's expositing, I've never heard that word used like that unless I'm saying it incorrectly, but basically when Roshi was thinking about everything and we saw Nappa and Vegeta on how the Dragon Balls are limited by the power of their creators is lifted from the second version of the Japanese opening for Dragon Ball Z's Chala Head Chala.
Wait, Wait, what?
Here, let me just read it exactly.
Okay, yeah.
The visuals of Nappa and Vegeta during Roshi's expositing expose, maybe? I don't know. On how the,
Dragon
Balls are limited by the power of their creator is lifted from the second version of the Japanese opening, which is like the Goku and Vegeta walking
that
towards
makes sense.
The screen.
That makes sense. I did think that, actually. I was like, oh, that's probably where the shot's from. But I guess, yeah, it would make more sense that they just reused it. Okay, yeah, I'm feeling pretty trivia'd out. I think that was good. Pretty good trivia. This episode was randomly just packed on this fucking wiki page, bro. It's time for the.
It's because while I do agree that, and I said I don't think a lot happened in this episode. I think a lot happened in this episode, if that makes sense.
I agree.
It's not
I
like
agree.
The recent episodes we've setup. Watched, but it has a lot that again. This is one of those that really the next episode should literally just be them and Namek. And if we're reading the manga, it probably is just them and Namek, right? Like it's literally or them at. Whatever is happening next. Instead, we're going to probably have like three episodes that are just going to be like nothing.
I'm ready to rate it, Nano. Am I going first or you? I think you should go first because...
You hold up your number then. So for context, episode 34, Krillin's Offensive, which Dotto and I think have currently proclaimed is our current favorite episode of Dragon Ball Z and maybe the most slept on episode of Dragon Ball Z ever. Dotto gave a 10. I gave a Kaio 10. Oh, yeah, I guess I was feeling a little goofy that day. And then the previous episode titled Mercy, which is the finale of the Saiyan Saga, we both gave 9s. So coming into picking up the pieces following the hype of really giving out a lot of high-ass scores. As I'm looking, like, there is nothing below a 9 from episodes 29. Nope, you gave Hero in the Shadows an 8 because you're a Yajirobe hater. Anyway, I'm going to give this one a 5.
Okay, that's respectable. That's respectable. Me, personally, I went with a 3. Because while I understand, like, it is interesting. Look, I'm of two minds. It's interesting. I appreciate the episode. It is a needed episode. But if this shit came back on, I'm skipping this 9 times out of 10, bro. I understand. I got it. You know, let's get a move on. This is just all lore. It's all exposition. It is good in that way. But almost so, I would rather watch Piermo, you know, fuck around with some orphans and shit.
Well, hang on.
You know,
let me see if you're for real. Let me see if you're for real. Hang on.
Don't keep me honest, man.
You know what? You're not lying. Ply to the Children, you gave a 4 and I gave
exactly,
a 5.
Exactly. Let's go. That's why I'm consistent, bro. Is because in my head, I was like, I probably would have preferred like Piermo and the orphans and stuff. I definitely would have preferred a funny dinosaur. We don't even got to talk about that. I gave that dinosaur episode a 10. But yeah, that's where I'm at, you know.
Hang on. I gotta see who's given more tens really fast, really fast. I've given 10 3 times. You've given it 4. You've given it 4. You're still the ultimate glazer right now.
I'm a lax critic, you know. It doesn't take much to impress me. But this episode, again, it wasn't even bad. It was good. I would just probably never watch it again after this.
That's fair.
Like ever.
You can kind of gather what would happen here. There was some good lore stuff though that I picked up on, like the DKP thing. I did not know that. If that's actually real, like that's very interesting about DKP specifically. So, or I guess
I'll take that. Krillin also got to shine a little intellectually here, so that's nice. Pretty serious episode. Nice to see the cast get a little serious.
But Dotto, if they wanted to consume more key moments, because this moment right now is slowly fading away, it's slowly ending, what should they do? Should they click the join button? Should they maybe go to patreon.com/key moments? Are those like,
yeah, I think both of those are ways to do it. They could hit the next episode button, they could watch more on YouTube, they could join more and watch bonus content. I mean, there really is just so many things to do. You can join on YouTube or go over to Patreon. I mean, either, really.
Man, that's so crazy. Dotto, do you hear Dotto?
Oh, my ears. What is that? Turn it down, Nano! My ears!